Today we begin our final week of hearing the voice of God. Today is week 4, day 1. And our scripture for today is 1 Corinthians 14:1, which says, "Make love your aim and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." It's interesting when you take a look at that verse right there from scripture. Make love your aim and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. It's 1 Corinthians 14:1. Another way that you could translate this is covet the spiritual gifts, especially covet prophecy. Now, what have you been taught about coveting? Thou shalt not covet. This is the only place in the Bible that says we are to covet. We're to covet spiritual gifts. What spiritual gifts are we to covet? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11, there's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul says that we're to covet these gifts of the Spirit, especially we're to covet the gift of prophecy. You should eagerly desire, really want, above all the spiritual gifts, you should want the gift of prophecy. And that's 1 Corinthians 14:1. Let's review our principles for hearing the voice of God. Number one, God is my Father. Number two, my Father has a plan for my life. And number three, my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. When we were baptized, each of us was anointed with chrism oil, and the priest prayed this: God the Father has freed you from sin, giving you a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and welcomed you into his holy people. He now anoints you with the chrism of salvation. As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as a member of his body, sharing everlasting life. The priest takes the chrism oil, makes the sign of cross on your forehead, and he says, as Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so may you live always as a member of his body, sharing in everlasting life. We have been anointed, even as Jesus was anointed priest, prophet, and king. We have been anointed priest, prophet, and king. We all have the anointing of prophet, which means we're all called to go forth and proclaim the good news. In Matthew 28:18-20, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." We are all anointed prophets so that we can obey this command of Jesus and go forth and make disciples. The Holy Spirit has also given the gift of prophecy to the church. In 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. We see here that prophecy is the gift whereby the Holy Spirit manifests his presence by speaking in the first person through a believer to another believer or to the church. Prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're all anointed prophets to go forth and to tell other people the good news of Jesus Christ. But God has given a specific charism. Charism is the Greek word for gift. A specific charism of prophecy to certain members of the church. And this gift of prophecy is the gift whereby the Holy Spirit manifests himself. The gifts of the Spirit manifest the Holy Spirit. They make them tangible for us. The gift of prophecy is the gift whereby the Holy Spirit manifests his presence by speaking in the first person through a believer. Speaking in the first person through a believer to another believer or to the church. So a word of prophecy can be given to a person like you. I could speak a word of prophecy to you, or there could be a word of prophecy that's given to the entire body, the church. Prophecy sounds like this. It's what you imagine. Thus saith the Lord, my people, I would say to you, for the Lord would say, hear me, for I am the Lord, and I say. Notice that this is in first person. It's the Lord himself speaking. Now, some of these is stylized way of prophecy. For example, thus saith the Lord. Does a prophecy need to begin like that? No, not at all. But it's in first person, and it's the Lord God speaking. And when the Lord God is speaking, he's manifesting his presence, showing that he is there, showing his presence either to one individual believer or to the church. The reasons for prophecy are these. Prophecy is given, number one, to manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit. Number two, it's given for the common good. Number three, it's for encouragement, edification, and exhortation. And number four, to manifest the personal love of God. The gift is given to manifest, let's take a look at these. The gift is given to manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To manifest means to make touchable. Think about this. Your hand, the bones in your hand are called your maniple. Your hand is your maniples. Now, it means to touch or to manipulate, right? To manifest, a manifestation of the Holy Spirit makes the Spirit of God touchable, tangible to us. Through this charism, the charism of prophecy, the Holy Spirit is made touchable. The charism is also given for the common good. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, we read again, to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's not for the individual. It's not for the person who's prophesying. It's for the church. It's not so that that person can look good and become rich and become famous. No, this gift is given for the common good. And you also notice here that to each is given a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you look at the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, as Paul mentions again in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, when you look at those gifts, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, which means you have one or many of those nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, those charismatic gifts, we call them, the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have one of those gifts. And why has God given it to you? For the common good, for the sake of the church. Next thing, the charism of prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, is for our encouragement, our edification, and exhortation. Prophecy is given for three reasons: encouragement, edification, and exhortation. And in tomorrow's session, we're going to say more about this. Next, the manifestation of the Spirit also causes us to realize the presence of God. In 1 Corinthians 14:24 through 25, 1 Corinthians 14:24 through 25, we read, "But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you." I have seen this over and over and over. When you prophesy, the presence of God comes in a way that is different than the other charisms of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God comes and people are touched. I pray over thousands of people a year, and as I pray over people and I begin to prophesy, people will begin to cry. Some people will begin to cry to such a point where they fall to the ground crying. Now, why would this happen? I believe it's because prophecy manifests the presence of God, and it's a manifestation of his love. It's amazing to me. I can be prophesying over someone, and they can be the simplest words, the most beautiful words that the Lord will speak. Just simple, plain words of, "My child, I love you." And then he goes on to speak of his love for this person. Now, somebody next to this person, it's just like, well, isn't that nice? But that person that's receiving the prophecy, the person that's receiving the prophecy is cut to the heart. Why? because 1 Corinthians 14:24 through 25, I've seen it in my own life. It's true. It's true. People will declare that God is really among you when you begin to prophesy. The personal love of God is made manifest. When people hear of how God loves them, that God sees them, that he knows their life, especially a lot of times those words of knowledge that come, which means that the person that's praying over them will know things about that person that they couldn't in and of their own mind know. And all of a sudden, this person's heart is laid bare. And they realize that God sees them and that he loves them. One of the ways that I've noticed that God works through me to in prophecy, one of the ways is God will give people a name. It's interesting, a title, if you will. And he'll say things like, when you come into my presence, say this, Father, here I am, your son whom you call. The Lord might call someone, for example, builder of the wall. I remember a gentleman that I didn't know, and I laid hands on him, and the Lord said this, when you come into my presence, whenever you come to pray, when you walk into the church, look at the tabernacle and say this to me, Father, here I am, the one whom you call builder of the wall. Now, I didn't know this man, and I didn't know that the work that he was about. He was a man that protected children from abuse. When he prayed, God was calling him builder of the wall. This man was a man that built walls so children couldn't be abused. And just many stories of that. Now, there's prophecy that's foretelling prophecy, which tells of the future. I remember I've received prophecies like that. Right after 9/11, the Lord told me that the next attack on America would come from Chicago. The next attack on America would come from Chicago. What do you think that means? I know what that means. I'll let you pray about it and you discover it. The next attack on America will come from Chicago. The other type of prophecy, so we have foretelling future events. Foretelling is telling how God is working in the present. I was in St. Michael, Minnesota, preaching a parish mission, and I got up on Sunday to announce the parish mission and invite people to the mission. This was after communion. And as I was inviting people, there was a gentleman sitting out in the congregation. All of a sudden, my hand was up and I was pointing my finger. And I was pointing my finger right at him. And I said, Brother, the Lord would say to you. And of course, whenever that happens, people start looking around behind them to see if, you know, I'm talking to somebody else. And I go, No, brother, the Lord is saying to you, Thus saith the Lord. And there was this whole prophecy how God was speaking to this brother and that he was calling him to become Catholic. And that when he became Catholic, he would be a leader of men throughout the nation. Now, this guy could have been the best Catholic in the whole congregation. And here the Lord is saying through me that he's to convert and become a Catholic. Well, you know, the amazing thing was he was married to a Catholic girl, and her daddy's a deacon, and this young man was not Catholic. They had been praying for years for his conversion, and they just had finished a novena. It was the 10th day of the novena, and here God had me in front of him, calling him to become Catholic. By the end of the parish mission, he had made the decision. He is now a Catholic man, and God is using him to touch the hearts of men. Now, there are categories of prophecy. There's true prophecy, which comes from God. There's non-prophecy, which is just pious thoughts and human desires. And then there's false prophecy that pulls us away from God and points us to a false God. Psychics or false prophets, stay away from them. False prophets are not submitted to the authority of the church. I don't care if what they're saying is amazing to you and true. Because they're not submitted, demons will come through them and into you. So stay away from them. I want to leave you with one last story about prophecy. I prayed over a gentleman named Steve. And when I prayed over him, the Lord God told me that he was giving him a trip. that there was going to be a lot of work to do, but he was to take off from work and that this was a trip was going to be given to him. He later on shared this with me that he thought, oh my gosh, if I get a trip from God, there's no way that I can go away on a trip. He went back to work, and within a couple of days, his partner in the business came to him and said, listen, hey, I've got this ticket. I'm supposed to go on this trip. I think it was to the Caribbean or something. I can't go. There's no way. I know there's a lot of work. I want you to know that I've already arranged for that to be taken care of. I want you to go on this trip. Now, when I tell that story, a lot of people want to come up to me and have me prophesy over them. God wants to speak to his people through you. He wants to speak to his church. Open up your heart and let the Lord God use you to speak to his people.